Hello and good evening, everybody. Thank you all for joining us today on the 20-something podcast of Departure.
I think the 22nd.
22nd? Okay, 22nd.
Or 21st, I may be mistaken. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's 20-something, as I said.
That's a good start. Good start, guys.
We're on the tracks. Joining me tonight are Mihir Jam, who you've already heard, as well as our Fatah Ali Khan.
Who you've already heard, too.
As well. Alrighty then. Pretty tight show today. Excuses for not coming online yesterday, but major difficulties prevent.
Not from our side, though.
Yeah, you can blame the ISP to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, underwater cable cuts, man. Guys, please give us a break.
Yeah, but they were supposed to have had it fixed last weekend, man.
No, they were supposed to have it fixed this week.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, any whatever. Okay, so let's begin. Today we have, anime and games. What shall we start? Arfi, why don't you decide what do we start with?
Let's start with what we've been watching.
Okay, excellent. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
So, what have you been watching?
Well, quite a lot of stuff, actually.
Okay, if it's Justice League, you can skip that part.
yeah, that was actually minimal, thankfully, so I can talk about something else this time around. DVD, I finally watched Inglourious Basterds.
Hold on, you still watch DVDs?
Well, you know what I mean. Blu-ray, DVD, whatever.
That shall not be named.
Finally watched Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, you hadn't watched it?
I hadn't watched it, believe it or not, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know who I was talking to about that movie, but they hit it the nail on the head, is that it was a great collection of scenes. Like, you know, there were lots of different scenes in there, from the bar scene to the opening, to the ending, the denouement, everything, which were absolutely fantastic, so ridiculously tense, etc. But as a movie, all of those scenes put together, for me, were kind of detached and didn't really come together properly. Though, the scenes as they are worked very, very well. But the movie as a whole, not so much. But still, very enjoyable, very edgy, very edge of your seat. Tense stuff. One of the actually most tense movies we've seen in a long time from him. Since I would say Reservoir Dogs, the ear cutting scene. So yeah, some really good stuff there. Go on.
No, I was just gonna say that Gilgal wasn't exactly tense because he sort of dragged out a certain scene. So Wait a second. The scene where she's in the coffin, trying to knock out, that was...
Yeah, it was good, but nothing online of what was an Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, no.
Holding
your breath.
If you remember in Kill Bill Volume 2, the scene where the bride is fighting Ellen... I'm blanking out on her name. But she's fighting the one with the chick with the eye patch.
Whose eyes she squished.
Yeah, that was a pretty intense scene. I felt Kill Bill Volume 2 was a much more intense movie compared to Kill Bill Volume 1. Kill Bill Volume 1 was just like an homage to like all these Japanese kung fu films and these Japanese, slasher kind of films, but Kill Bill Volume 2 was like a western. To me, and that was, that movie was like insanely intense, and maybe not as intense as Inglourious Basterds, but definitely a very disquieting feeling it gave you when you're watching that film, like the scene where Michael Madsen's character shoots rock salt onto the bride. You were just completely blown away.
That's true. That was quite shocking, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch that movie again.
Mihir just reminded me of that. I'll remember. Yeah. Interesting. Then I watched something on the cinema. It's a new movie just been released this weekend. I'm sure you're guessing what it probably is.
I know what it is because you already told us. Why don't you tell us?
Well, yeah, it was Clash of the Titans, not the 3D version, because I didn't want to waste that much of my money. But, the normal version, yeah, it's just one of those ones that had to be watched because I, for one, have watched the original. And I love the very campy B-movie nature of it because, you know, all the monsters in the original were all stop motion and everything like that. So it worked really well. You know, it was almost comedic, but, you know, fun to watch. So I went in with obviously no expectations for Clash of the Titans. I just really wanted to watch it because, you know, the CGI and all looked quite cool and everything. And, you know, it's just something you should watch, I guess, if, you know, you don't have anything better to do.
What the investment there?
Yes. The CGI was very good. The acting and the script was fine. You know, it wasn't any Oscar winning stuff, obviously. And I mean, let me just tell you quickly about the premise of the movie. The premise of the movie is the gods.
Extremely non-spoilerish.
Yes. The gods have, you know, Zeus and Hades and Poseidon, all those guys. You know, they created man and everything to worship them. And, you know, as they worshipped, men worshipped the gods. The gods remained strong. But the man has gotten tired of the gods because the gods are lazy and they don't do anything for man. So they've decided to rebel. Now, in this whole story, there's this one character whose name is Perseus. Perseus?
Was he?
Yeah,
he was an actual, yeah.
Now, Perseus is actually a demigod. He is the son of Zeus and a mortal woman. And you find out how that came to be as the story progresses.
How?
Huh? What?
How did that happen?
Well, you know, shrink down.
But how and why, I guess I should say. But that really doesn't make any difference to the plot, which is quite basic. Then what happens is Perseus's family or adopted family or whatever you want to call them is killed by one of the gods, obviously Hades, because, you know, he's, well, a bad guy. And obviously Perseus is really pissed off, and what happens is
Perseus is all grown up now.
Yes, you know, he's a young man.
Did they indicate why he killed their family?
Just because he's a bastard, and they happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay.
He was killing some soldiers that pissed off the gods, and they just happened to be there, and after he got killing the gods, he saw them, and he was like, some more humans. Let me kill them too. But since, you know, Perseus is a demigod, he survived. Anyway, what Hades then does is he, you know, getting Zeus's permission, because Zeus is kind of pissed off at the humans as well, you know, gives the humans an ultimatum saying, look, you have to sacrifice your princess or I am going to unleash this monstrous, hideous beast and that will destroy all of you. Blah, 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 blah.
Release the Kraken.
Exactly. And more or less what Perseus's, well, you know, story and mission
okay,
is.
Yeah, okay, we understand that's the plot. Yes. So, okay, that's the plot. Okay.
So it's to stop this thing and, you know, he gets joined by people who don't believe
in. You can stop now because you're getting into spoiler territory.
Not really. Not really. Honestly, this movie has no spoilers whatsoever.
Because, it's like you can...
because nothing...
makes sense.
No, nothing...
is important.
Really, yeah, exemplary happens. You're just like, yeah, okay.
You're just enjoying set pieces after set pieces.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing that you weren't expecting, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And the end fight is actually just like, okay, is that it? All right, then. Actually, I want to download the original Clash of the Titans and watch it again.
It was an original.
Because of that.
Yeah.
But see,
I've actually watched that, to be honest. And
is it a remake? When was the original movie?
You know,
late 70s, early
1981, I think, to be
precise.
Yeah.
And, more or less what I'd sort of end with this movie is something I tweeted earlier, which is it might be a big budget movie with big name stars and great CGI and everything like that, but at the end of the day, it's still a B movie. and it will remain a B movie. So, I mean, not such a bad thing, you know, as far as B movies go.
It's good on a hot weekend afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, you know, get it on Blu-ray, get it on DVD, whatever. And
you mean
get it on
Blu-ray only?
Yes, get it on Blu-ray, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it when, you know, you have absolutely.
The release or the DVD release will come out with those prosthetic Kellogg's 3D glasses that they did for, what was it, Final Destination 4?
Potentially. I mean, because I don't think the 3D was much to talk about anyway, even from what I've read and heard. Mm. So, yeah, I think those cheap Kellogg's glasses would more or less do the trick for that movie.
Excellent.
Yes.
Continue. I've got a question, but anyway, continue.
No, no, I said what I was just going to say is that I've seen some anime as well, but we'll talk about that after you guys say your bits.
Okay, so I watched the original Clash of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, however, I guess in today's terms, however bad that movie looks, it still had its, you know, its charm. It still had its, like...
Yes.
Like, the way stop motion was, like implemented in that movie was pretty unique.
Exactly,
and,
I agree with you.
And even though it wasn't the best... Even at that time, it still was you were still like not forgiving it, but you were still enjoying it because it was something new. You hadn't seen something like this done ever before.
Yeah.
And now when I look at Clash of the Titans as like from the trailers and like the TV spots, etc., nothing that feeling of basically uniqueness does not, like, you know, it doesn't. There is no uniqueness in the CGI that from what I've seen from the TV spots and the advertisements.
No,
it doesn't.
Not really.
You'll get your uniqueness when the Kraken is released.
I mean, the Kraken scene is probably
even the Kraken scene, even the Kraken scene from the trailer we've seen, it looks
seems pretty generic. Yeah,
it looks good, but nothing great. And if it's not great, it's not unique. It doesn't look anything like we've not
I'll
seen before.
I'll tell you
before,
one like, thing: the CG. From the trailers, it reminds me of the CG of the Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions. Like, you could tell even at that time that, you know, the shit is computer generated. It didn't feel anything like, you know, anything extraordinary, like, let's say, Lord of the Rings, or even recently like Iron Man, where, yeah, you knew that the thing was fake, but then, you know, the lighting and all that stuff, it plays a...
Dude, no, you can't compare it to Iron Man, man. When
I'm talking about
the Mark One, dude, you know, it's all CGI, but you think that the guy's actually standing there. I mean, it's amazing.
Dude, I'm talking... Paying it to Lord of the Rings, not...
You can't even compare it to Lord of the Rings, which is quite sad, actually.
Have you seen that movie? let's not get into that.
Lord of the Rings is how old now?
5-6 years?
7 years now? The last one came out 7 years ago.
Well, there you go. I'm still blown away by that, and I'm so upset that the Blu-ray release is not the special edition.
Yeah, the Blu-ray, it's a Amazon
it's
ratings
a,
on it?
It's, yeah,
they
but
have
dude, it's
1,000 plus ratings, all with like 1 or 2 stars.
But it's expected. It is expected because what, I mean, which is the studio that's distributing, okay, whichever studio it is, they're fucking with their few viewers. They are basically screwing with their fans because they're going to release a new edition later this year with all the special features.
Next year, or whenever, it's going to come out.
The originals, I think they released in summer of 2008. I'm talking the Blu-ray.
The Blu-rays have not released. The Blu-rays have been released only recently for Lord of the Rings, by the way. They have not been released before.
Yeah.
It came out this year. I'm not even sure if it's released or not because I haven't been keeping track.
No, it's out. That's for sure.
Okay, because I was keeping track of the Blu-ray and then I heard these guys were doing like they were basically messing around with the Blu-ray set in such a bad way. So I basically just took it out of my charts for my purchase because if they're going to fuck with us like that, I'll just wait for the next one because they know that the hardcore fans are going to buy it now. They're going to watch it. They're going to be like, okay, it's nothing great. But then when it comes out again, they're going to buy it again. So it's basically a double buy for them, which is not at all ethical, not at all right. Mm. And it's basically what they're doing. So fuck them, don't buy that shit.
Really sad. I was so upset.
The one star rating they've got is completely deserved.
Yeah,
it's bullshit what they're carrying out.
Anyway, what have you guys been watching?
Mihi, you wanna start or?
I've basically just been watching the animes we've already talked about, continuing with that, and I watched a movie. This weekend I went to the cinema to actually catch Clash of the Titans, but my mom was with me and she didn't want to watch a movie which basically had a lot of violence and gore and etc. all that jazz. So she suggested Date Night, and I can't say no because I also went. Anyway, so my expectations for this film was already rock bottom low because it's from the director of movies such as Night of the Museum, Cheaper by the Dozen, Big Fat Liar, etc. So my expectations and my anticipation with the movie was already like at the ground. I could not go any lower. So I went in the movie expecting basically nothing.
It's mind blown.
No, not really. I'll just say this. It's not a bad movie. It's nothing great, but the only reason why it's mildly enjoyable is because of the fact that Steve Carell and Tina Fey are two great actors right now. They basically carry the whole movie on their shoulders. The direction of this movie and the editing is pathetic. And the gags are basically, to me, the gags weren't as funny, but the improvisational lines in between, those were really, really hilarious. So I'm not saying go and check it out in the cinema, but if you have nothing to do, maybe a rental, or maybe on DVD, if you can pick it up, check it out. It's not pain inducing. It's nothing. It's not as bad as I thought it would be, and I was actually mildly surprised by it because I expected to hate it, and I came out actually just whatever, indifferent towards it. So if you watch it, you wouldn't have wasted your time completely. But I wouldn't recommend it. But if you have nothing to do, watch, and you have this, go ahead. It's not a bad movie.
But anyway, this is still below Clash of the Titans.
I've been reading about Clash of the Titans, I actually am happy I didn't go for Clash of the Titans, because if I went there, I would just be pissed off, like how pissed I was after I finished watching Transformers. So I was getting that same vibe before going to the cinema, and I was like, screw this. If I go, maybe with a group of friends who like these type of movies.
See,
but
the thing is that with me, Clash of the Titans, if I would go to the cinema to see it, I would go with the expectation of watching a campy, you know, B class movie. Where's the trailer, which I don't mind.
That's what I'm saying. I don't mind campy, like campy films, which are like just, you know, for the hell of it. But Transformers was just pissing off. Like, it was boring, and campy films, they're not boring. They may be bad, and you may be laughing at it, but you're not bored. But Transformers was just, yeah, you're entertained. But Transformers was just boring. This is the second one. The first one was still entertaining at like a surface level, but the second one was just a complete bore fest, at least for me, and that's why I hated that movie so much.
You know that I agree with you on Transformers 2 when I watched it in the cinema, and I got it as an exchange for one of my games in the UK. I got it as a Blu-ray because I had nothing else to get. And when you watch it again, when your expectations are so bloody low,
yes,
it's actually quite
actually,
an enjoyable movie.
Yeah, I would agree, because I had the same experience when I got the Blu-ray. I watched it, I was like, man, this is shit, but I'm just watching it for the the CG scenes. And, you know, you sort of, you tune out.
But even like the CGI to me was nothing great. Like, in Transformers 1. Okay, listen to me. In Transformers 1, when the action scenes were going on.
He's getting emotional now. You must listen.
When the action scenes were going on in Transformers 1, you were entertained. You were glued to the screen. And you weren't looking left and right. In the cinema, when I watched this film, when the freaking action scenes were going on, I was just completely like disconnected from the film. I was looking around in the cinema to see what other people were doing.
There were too many.
Not too many. It was just people running, shit blowing up, and nothing. Yeah, and basically, the plot was really, really dumb. You didn't give a shit to, like, you didn't give two shits about anything that was going on the screen. At least to me.
I guess me.
Yeah. Dude, you're complaining about Megan Fox running all the time? What's wrong with you?
And Megan Fox, however hot she is, she needs to shut the fuck up because she does not know how to act. She had a shitload of lines to say, and she just needed to shut up and do what she does best, basically expose
exhibit. Wait a second, you're saying me you did not want to hear Megan Fox say camshafts?
No, I did not.
Okay.
So, moving on.
Okay, then. What have I been watching? I have...
This is very therapeutic for me.
Sorry?
This is very...
Okay, you cut off for a second over there, but anyways.
I was saying this is very therapeutic for me.
Indeed. I can feel it in the air. It's cracking. Such that your voice cut off. I guess I'll be the only one doing the only anime review this week. I watched Katanagatari. This show is been having rave reviews, at least on AnimeDB. Plus, it started in Jan sometime.
It's taking a very different route on how anime is shown in Japan.
I really love it. The story is that feudal Japan, I think, I don't know, it's like, again, late 1800s, you know, samurai time, all that crap. The anime starts with, you know, some castle being burned down, and then this little girl, she's just watching, you know, hiding somewhere, some corner cupboard, whatever. So she's just watching, you know, everybody get killed, and the last person to get killed, like this one dude, he's like, you can just see the silhouettes of these people. So he's just like, you know, just annihilating everybody. People are coming at him, they're charging at him, like 3, 4, 5 soldiers are charging at him with their samurai swords, and he's just like blood splatter. I mean, not blood, it was all, you know, silhouettes again. So anyway, she's just watching all this. She's like a little kid, and, you know, her eyes are just like widening up. The last person this guy kills is actually, they don't explicitly say this, but it's pretty much apparent that the last person who gets killed is actually probably the king of the castle, and that's the girl's father. So she watches her dad die. Fast forward 20 years later, and then we are on an island, and this, you know, this dude and his little girl, his little sister. She looks like his little sister, but she's actually older. You know how, before birth or whatever. So she looks pretty, you know, frail and ill, and, you know, he's saying that, you know, okay, you rested the house today. I'll go and, you know, do all the laundry and stuff. So it seems like on this secluded island, it's just this. These two people. Their father died sometime last year. So everybody's, you know, like, it's pretty damn boring. And some random person, some chick, she comes in from, you know, from a boat, obviously, and she arrives and she's like, I'm looking for what's it called? The Kyoto Ryu. Okay? Literally translated, it means the swordless style. So what it is that she just comes into this island to, you know, find out, you know, what's who's to this island to find out the latest, you know, head of this Kyoto Ryu fighting style, you know, whoever's the next head in the family, because it's a fighting style that's being transferred down, you know, generations, father to son, etc. So he's like, yeah, I'm the next family head. So she's like, okay, I need your help. This is the basic premise. There are 12 swords that were created by some extremely legendary swordsman way, way, way back in the day. He created 1,000. No, not him. Check this out. He created 1,000 swords, and 988 of these swords were created just to create these 12 swords. Like, they were all like sort of practice swords or whatever you can say. These 12 swords were extremely powerful, and, you know, each one of these swords, they had a unique ability. Like, you know, one of the swords, it was completely unbreakable. It's a samurai sword, but it's completely unbreakable. Ultimate defensive. One of the swords is like when you draw it out from its sheath, it moves at the speed of light. One of the other swords is like, it has the power of 1,000 swords in it. Stuff like that.
So it's nothing like Zanpakutu's, basically.
No. You can't see the physical manifestation because the swords, they allow their owners to, like, have these sort of powers. So, oh, nice. You know, the, yeah, so that's the beauty. And they all look really, you know, simple, pretty damn simple, like, you know, any other, any regular samurai sword. So what happens is that these swords, they exude a sort of poison. Not, you can't physically see it, like, you know, it's sort of a, an aura that these swords give off that, you know, they just, they don't mind control their owners. It's just that the owners are like, you know, this is the most precious thing to me and I'll get it.
Golem. No.
Yes, somewhat of that sort of effect. But it's not like, you know, the sword master, he was some evil dude who transferred his soul into these swords. No, it was just, you know, these were some pretty badass swords. So he says, why will I help you? She says, because she's from the shogunate, like, you know, the king. So she's one of the army generals. So she's like, you know, we've been trying to capture these swords and anybody we send out, they like, you know, get consumed by the poison of these swords. You know, they take the swords for themselves. Like, we sent out this ninja clan for money. They were like, F you guys, we took the sword, now we're going to keep it. They sent some, like, you know, very loyal person to the shogunate. He's like, yeah, F you guys, I'm going to keep the sword. So she's like, money doesn't work if we send anybody after these swords. Loyalty doesn't work. Honor doesn't work. Because, you know, they sent some very honorable swordsman. He was like, this sword is so awesome. I'm going to keep it for myself for the honor of it. So she's like, nothing works on these guys, whoever we send to get these swords. But love will work. So...
Oh my God.
Listen, check this out. Hear me out. She's like, so you're gonna, so he's like, why will I help you? She's like, because you're gonna fall in love with me. Okay, so this, see, everybody's just, you know, dead silent, like, you know, because she's telling this soul explanation in front of, in their house, like, you know, brother and sister, they're both listening to him and they're like, yeah, they were reacting like me, you know, all just quiet. And then suddenly these, like, shurikens, they just come in and attack all of these guys, and then it turns out one of the ninjas, one of the other ninjas, they're also after these swords, some ninja clan. So they overheard her and, you know, they actually follow her all the way over here. And they're like, yeah, we're going to kill you. And then we're going to extract information out of you for where the rest of the swords are. And we're going to take it. Dude's like, yeah, right. So he basically pretty much annihilates the guy. The swordless style over here, what this means is that this guy, he can't wield a sword.
He fights with his hands.
He literally fights with his hand. You know, like the Taekwondo style of, I think it's, Thai style of fighting where, you know, it's like kickboxing and stuff.
Muay Thai?
I don't know what it's called. It's not exactly karate, but, you know, you're using your limbs in a very, you know, stiff way that, you know, you're just like poning noobs all over the place.
it's probably Muay Thai.
Maybe, I'm not exactly sure. Again, this is originated in Japan. I don't even know whether this is an actual style or not. Some form of martial arts. Basically, like, his form of fighting, he can actually break swords. Or, you know, like, immobilize the guy, whoever. He can literally, like, you know, like, tear through a person's abdomen with his hand. The guy is so strong. So he uses his hands and his legs as, you know, against swords. So what happens is that, you know, the ninja attacks him and he's like, okay, fine, whatever. You know what? I'll help you out. The sister, she tells the lady, you know, she tells the girl that, you know, okay, my brother's been over here for 20. This is not like, you know, typical, like, you know, 16-year-old teens who are just like going nuts. She's like, my brother's been on this island for 20 years. He's been training, you know, for something, and we're just secluded on this island. Go ahead, take my brother, take him on this, like, so-called perilous journey of yours, you know, get all the 12 swords and then, you know, we'll see what happens next. So the girl and the guy, they both leave. In search of these swords. And the way the episodes play out is that each episode is 49 minutes and each episode plays once a month. So January till April, the latest episode, I think it aired like a week back. And each episode, they just show, like, you know, these guys, they get one sword. Mm. One at a time. And the best part about this anime, which a lot of people might be irritated, is that there's a lot of talking going on. You know, they try to learn the, not just the history of the swords themselves, but, you know, the history of the country that they're going and, you know, the person who's
exposition? Like, I mean, like a lot of exposition or not really exposition?
Not necessarily. I mean, quite a lot of times, you know, even apart from exposition, it's just, you know, like back and forth between the guy and the girl. So it's sort of, you know, I won't say it's a romantic comedy because they're just taking, you know, jabs at each other. But it's still, you know, lighthearted fun. And when the fighting starts, you know, It's quite freaking brilliant. The best part about this anime is, you know, it's very nicely paced. 49 minutes, you think that's a lot, which it is. But, you know, I mean, we watch the Pacific and other 24, they're all like 40 minutes each. So, you know, this is not a big deal.
We're used to it.
It comes out once a month, man. It comes out once a month. So, and I think this is going to follow all the 12 months. And the way the episode ends, you know, there's like some lady who's like, you know, she's the person who's just narrating at the end of the episode, like, you know. So these guys, this is what happened in the episode, and you know, for this month and this evening, this is where the episode will conclude. We'll see you next month. So, you know, they understand, you know, and it's a very nicely, you know, you can see where this show is going, you know, okay, you have defined characteristics, 12 swords, one per month. I understand that's simple. Guy and girl, they're like, you know, traveling different lands, getting a sword. You have one boss fight at the end of every episode. That's very nice. Extremely smooth and, you know, nicely animated stuff. I would give this a, you know, like, you have to watch this anime. If you, and it's not like, you know, very old school samurai where it's all about honor and this and that stuff. Because the girl, you know, because this guy, he's just been born and brought up on that island, apart from his dad and his sister. So, you know, sort of the situation that people would consider embarrassing. So, you know, that's another factor where, you know, comedy might come in. Very good. Very, very, very nicely animated anime. Story is really brilliant. The characters are, you know, it's just three characters, you know, the guy, the girl, and his sister, and, you know, whoever the person is who's wielding the sword. So simple to follow. You have to watch it. Like, if you were, like, even slightly interested in martial arts, a must-watch anime.
Cool.
And yeah, I can't wait for the rest of the episodes. And his frail little sister, the ill one, she is not so frail. She is actually pretty badass. In fact, she is more powerful than her brother. So because
that's
like
the hook of the show.
No, that's not the hook of the show. Maybe it's like she says at the end of the fourth episode that, you know, maybe I'll join my brother because, you know, in 3 months he's just been able to get 3 swords. What is this bullshit?
Yeah.
So she talks really, you know, nice and calmly and like cutely. She's like, you know, like this little girl. And she's like, oh, so brother's only managed to get 3 swords. Maybe I should punish him. And the way she means punish, like she tortures these people who come in to attack her. Mutilates them, like, you know, pulling out their fingernails and... That was like some intense shit going. This is the best part. Like, you know, it's all going nice and smooth. And then, you know, something really severe comes in. You're like, okay, yeah, you know, this is a proper anime. They're not like going for any moe or, you know, a lot of comedy or a lot of romance, anything. Like, it's just nicely balanced. So, yeah, gotta watch this show.
Cool, cool, cool. Nice. I still want to watch that Angel Beats.
Angel Beats, yes, dude. Fourth episode, I watched it yesterday. Kick ass, man.
Is it adapted from a game? Any chance?
Angel Beats?
I don't think so.
I think it is.
Because, you know, every scene, whenever the setting changes, they give her like a... Like, you know how in RPGs they have this, like, you've entered City Hall, you've entered XX.
Yes, yes, yes.
They have that in Angel Beats. So I was just wondering, is it adapted from a game or is it just like a playing homage to games? I'm not sure.
I'll tell you that Wikipedia says that it is an anime TV series based on a visual novel. Yes, not a video game.
Okay.
So the visual novels, you know, they come out like, you know, one novel per episode maybe. I'm not really sure. And this is a 13 episode series, so, you know.
Yeah, it's a 13 episode series.
That's the best part. It'll end up pretty damn soon. And again, you know, these guys like balance comedy and extreme seriousness so perfectly. One of the best shows this season, without a doubt. And the opening and ending credits, whew, really, really nice. I think they change every 2 episodes the opening, and it's very, you know, keeping in touch with, you know, the happenings of the current happenings of the show itself. That, you know, in the, like, let's say in the third episode, just to give you an example, it's not really a big spoiler because it's the third episode. One of the characters, she dies. So they need a new character who can take over her to, you know, like, as a lead vocalist. So she says, okay, I'll sing for you. So, you know, she's like, you know, giving an audition. And that song that she auditions, that becomes the fourth episode's opening song.
Okay.
So, you know, they really, like, it's really kick-ass. Gotta watch that show, man. A lot of fun.
Well, I actually watched some anime. What? That was actually based on a video game.
What's the name?
And I'm absolutely loving it. Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh, Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh, okay.
If you know that the PS3 game came out, was it 2 years ago, I think?
8 years, 2000. Yeah. By Sega.
By Sega. Fantastic game, beautiful art style. So I thought, you know what? Let's check out this anime.
Generally, it's a bad idea to follow actual video game adaptations to anime.
Like Tales of Vesperia.
Surprise us, Arfi.
This is awesome.
What?
This is really awesome. I mean, obviously, we know how the story unfolds, but they don't follow...
For those people who actually, you know, played the
game. Well, played the game, sure. But, you know, they add so much more in terms of backstory and everything into it. And just the art style of the actual anime...
Is it similar to the game itself?
It's similar, but better. It keeps the stylistic element of the game with the shading and stuff. But obviously, you know, it's the more fluid anime style. But it's just... visually, I think it's absolutely fantastic. Because, I mean, you know, it's set in this sort of... it's a non-time place. It's a created time where, you know, people are fighting tanks and rifles and things like that. Yeah, but then there are also people which are, you know, superpowered almost, you know.
It gives a very strong vibe of Code Geass-ish, you know, kind of time.
Yeah, but unlike Code Geass, this is only rated a 7.23.
Yeah, I mean, I think it came out in last spring season. I remember, I think it was Anime Pulse who were talking about it.
Yes.
I think Anime Pulse talked about it, if I'm not mistaken, because I remember like trying to choose which anime I was going to watch that season, and I saw Valkyrie Chronicles, but then I never really knew what it was because I never played the game, and so I didn't bother watching it. But if it's good, I'll probably check it out.
I'm really enjoying it because the comedy is fun. I've actually got the full first season and some of the second, I think. Waiting for me. So I'm enjoying it. The music is excellent and the art style I'm loving, because this extra layer of shading that they put on there to give it almost like this brushed art style is just so nice. It's subtle, but it works really, really well. I mean, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm about 6 episodes in so far. And it's nicely interspersed with, you know, relationship development, comedy, some great action as well. And I'm really looking forward to some of the bigger action scenes that are definitely, you know, going to come.
On Taimur, it's on 7.3 or 7.2, you just said?
7.2.
Yeah, but I mean, there are some 7 series which are great. I mean, like...
Yeah.
Angel
Beats.
Angel Beats is a...
I'm not downplaying it at all. Yeah, Angel Beats is 7.6 or something. Yeah. Late 7s as well.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's very taste dependent. I mean, you know, you like...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly.
So,
I mean, I have 2 seasons of another anime as well that I started to watch. Unfortunately, I stopped about 15 minutes into the first episode.
Okay.
Because I just could not watch it anymore. And this was, it was actually quite, if I'm correct, quite highly rated of like a couple of years ago. I think it's called Vampire Knight Chronicles or Vampire Knight, I think it was. I mean, yeah, I don't even remember the name, so there you go. But it's, you know, about vampires and stuff like that, so I thought, okay, this might be interesting.
Of all? Oh, Jesus, yes, I remember now. I'll tell you part of the reason why you didn't like it is because it's based on a shoujo manga.
Exactly. Shoujo. It was all like girly stuff
pretty,
at the beginning.
Pretty boys.
Yes. It was like Twilight in anime, and I was just like, oh my god, switch it off.
Yeah. You consulted the experts.
Yeah, no, I just thought, you know, I was like, you know what, I haven't spoken about some... I've had this lying in my manga collection for a year now.
And yet you have not seen Gundam Seed.
Yes, that's the other one. I also have... Yakukuze, I also have Macross Remastered.
Oh, dude, Yakukaze is
surreal, man. It's like, just doesn't make any sense.
It does make any sense, but it's beautiful. The ghost is back, by the way.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You might want to, you know, try some exorcism. Over there.
did that work?
Yeah, it's gone.
Yes, it did.
Yay.
Continuing.
Okay. So exactly, this shoujo manga Twilight bullshit, I lasted all of 15 minutes for, and then I moved to, thankfully, Valkyria Chronicles.
I actually watched it for 2 episodes after I quit it.
Wow, that's
yeah, that's brave.
Something.
By the way, when this anime actually came out, there was no thing such as Twilight, at least to my knowledge. This was spring of 2008.
The book might have been around.
It was the spring of 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, books.
Didn't Twilight come out in 2008? The first movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it was fall or something.
I don't know. I haven't watched the movies, but I've heard
the second one came out exactly a year after this first one.
I know there's a lot of hate against Twilight, but I've never bothered watching.
Understandably
it. But I don't know. I haven't watched them, so I can't really hate on something I've not watched, right? So I don't do that.
I've watched it. Watched the first Twilight. I watched it with my wife, you know, and it's supposed to be a bit of a girly movie, and we were both fighting to run to the toilet after the movie finished, who would throw up first. So yeah, it was bad.
Okay.
It was bad.
Well, that settled it.
It was very, as my wife sort of commented in the background, it was very B movie-ish as well. It was very like straight to DVD production values.
That's the best part. All that shit, and it made so much.
I don't understand. I mean, they could have spent, like, I don't know, $10 on that movie or something. I don't know. Seriously, because damn, man.
Appeal to the insecure female population.
Yeah, but the
money.
But whatever, it made a lot of money. I mean, a freaking crap load of money on the first day.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's the second film. That is the second film. I think, I don't know. It wasn't, for the first day at least, it was in competition with The Dark Knight.
Guys, so. Let's stop this discussion. This is D-Culture, and, you know, Twilight is anti-D-Culture.
Yeah,
have you watched it, Taimur? I mean, you're hating on it so much.
Yes, no, man.
So stop hating on something you haven't watched.
Dude, you sound like you've never seen a hypocrite before. God, man. Relax. So I guess that's all we've been seeing.
I don't really enjoy hypocrites, but okay.
Yeah, you've been known... what have you been playing, guys?
What have I been playing? Well, you know, more of Battlefield, more of Blur.
Okay. Anything apart from that?
Yes, I tried the Lost Planet 2 demo, the multiplayer demo.
Yes, you were telling me about that. Yes.
Yeah. It's got potential, but it was very, again, you know, this Japanese style. It doesn't explain anything to you, and you just like throws you in there and you're like, come on, man, do it, sort of thing. I mean, I think the one game that I played was like a mission based game. You had to actually go and capture something or collect something, or I don't know what.
Okay.
But I don't know if anyone knew what they were doing. So they were just like going and trying to kill each other. I mean, what was interesting is that how over to the top the game felt, like, you know, randomly placed around, there would be weapons and these mini mech suits that you could, you know, like jump into and wear. And it was almost like armor that you could pick up. And the feeling of doing that was a lot of fun, you know, just jumping in and, you know, being protected and having more power and stuff like that. And these massive chain guns that were like twice the size of the character, you know, shooting away and stuff. But it all seemed very disjointed and you didn't really know what was going on or how it was supposed to be played or anything. So that was the very big downside to me, and that's why I didn't play much of it. I played, I think, 2 games or something, and I was just like, okay, what's going on? I don't know what the hell is happening. I don't care.
And
but the maps...
You...
Huh? Sorry?
You go ahead.
You know, I said the maps seemed interesting. The power-ups and everything seemed interesting, and it had potential, but it just was not working. It wasn't flowing. But as I said, I mean, you know, maybe once you know what's supposed to be going on, it'll work. So it's got potential, I think. You know, it's one of those that could really work or really not work. So I'm not sure.
I remember playing I think it was a co-op beta. I can't remember, yeah. And we had the same feeling. Taimur, also, I remember you playing it with us. I think it was you, me, and a couple of other guys. And we were basically thrown into a mission. at the first it was okay, it was like, it was just like a linear path we were going through. I think it was a valley we were going through.
I think it was literally a boss fight.
Yeah, and then suddenly we get into a boss fight, but we don't know anything about the boss. We don't know its weaknesses. We don't know what the hell we're carrying. I mean, it was some sort of, it was normal guns, machine guns, but then we were carrying these rocket launchers and these flamethrowers, etc. And we didn't know what the hell to do. And we just kept getting repeatedly destroyed by that boss. And I think we tried it, what, twice or thrice? And we were just like, completely, you know, put off by that game. At least I was put off, because I was like, at least give us some sort of hint as to what to
indication,
do.
Indication, exactly.
Do we go into the mouth and destroy it? Do we hit its legs? Do we hit its head? Like, what's the weak spot and what do we aim for?
To be honest, I mean, the weak spots were big, bulging, yellow.
Yeah, but even those weren't working. We just kept getting destroyed.
I think you had to, like, sequentially destroy
and,
it.
And mind you, I mean, like, we weren't bad FPS or third-person shooter players. I mean, yeah, it took a bit of a while to get used to the shooting style and the moving mechanics, but it... Once we were used to it, we didn't know what to do. We were just like randomly running around and trying to basically dodge the boss.
Alright. Interesting. That's exactly the feeling I got as well. So, yeah, I didn't play that much. Something I played a little bit more than that was the Xbox Live Arcade recent download, or double bill, I would say, of Final Fight and Magic Sword.
Miss Points. Wasted.
Well, luckily I got a redemption code, so yeah, not wasted. I have to say, you know, when I started Final Fight, it was great nostalgia. It's a really nice conversion, you know, crisp, clean looking, but you realize that the game actually finishes pretty soon. You can run through the game in about an hour.
You finished it?
Yeah.
Because I remember you didn't have it yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I got the code this afternoon. I was doing
this
some
afternoon.
Work. Yeah, I was doing some work, and then I got the code, and I was like, okay, let's take a break. And I ended up taking a one-hour break, and I finished it. You know. So, but you know what? One thing that this thing's got going for it, there are some absolutely fantastic extras for any... fan of the Final Fight series in this original Final Fight, definitely. There are some absolutely fantastic extras from comic strips, you know.
That's nice.
comic strips and...
If you just remember the comic strips?
No, sorry. Just got a little bit distracted. There, you know, art, concept art and everything. One of the best ones, I think I probably got it maybe for finishing the game or as a fluke or something. They've got, I didn't even know that this existed. They've got a full 22 minute cartoon in
what?
There. Yeah, it's an
anime episode.
Cartoon. Yeah, but it's a Street Fighter cartoon. I didn't even know this existed. It's an 80s American Street Fighter cartoon.
I think that's because Abel and Cody both are in Street Fighter.
So this Street Fighter, I mean, you know, the main characters are Guile and Blanka and all these things, but this episode was the Final Fight episode that is actually the story of Final Fight, where, you know, the girl gets kidnapped and Ken and Ryu come to help them out. And, you know, the bosses, the Final Fight bosses are there and everything. It was terrible in terms of, oh my God, this is not Ken and Ryu kind of thing, but it was fantastic homage, you know, to Final Fight. And it was amazing seeing this Street Fighter cartoon that I never knew existed. And, you know, I'm hoping that, and this is like there are different tiers of, unlocks that you can get from playing the game. And this was in the final tier, and I only got this one. So I'm thinking maybe it was because I finished the game or what, I don't know. But there are many of these, so I'm hoping there's many, you know, such quality videos or, you know, things that are unlocks that are there, which really makes this 800 points worthwhile.
Well, then you also forget that there's another game with the
exactly.
It's not just one thing.
Which I think is even better. Magic Sword. It's a game that not many people remember, but once I started playing it, it all came rushing back to me. It's a game with something like 60 levels, I think. 60 levels or something like that. So it's long.
Okay, it's longer than the 800 point game you bought.
Yeah. You know, it's like, will probably take you, if you have in one sitting, 3 hours or something, which is not bad, you know, like when some retail games go for, you know.
4 hours.
Yeah, exactly, 4 or 5 hours. And the good thing is that, you know, like Final Fight, it is multiplayer, but you can have like 3, 4, 5, 6 people playing at one time, which is friggin' awesome. And it's just a, you know, it's a hack and slash. You just side-scrolling hack and slash with different power-ups and weapons and armor and stuff like that. But it is so much fun. Luckily, you can save the game after each level. So, you know, you don't have to sit there for 3 hours in a go. But again, this thing has some unlockables, but they're much more difficult to open. And you know what? For fans of these games of 80s nostalgia, honestly, 800 points, fully worth it, not because of the just the games, but because of the added value that comes with these games, these extra features, the online multiplayer. It's just fantastic. I mean, if anyone's a fan of these games, I'd say buy it with your eyes closed. If you haven't heard of these games, then probably not a good idea, because I don't think it'll mean that much to you. But any fans of these games, it'll be so worth it. I'm just thrilled to be playing it. Awesome stuff.
So, good times.
Yeah.
From the 80s.
Yes, exactly.
How about it then? Mihir, have you been playing anything?
No, I mean, it's just Battlefield and Blur. I mean, next week is Halo Reach, right? So, that's the...
No, the week after that.
No, it's next week Monday.
Yeah, but then by the time we actually start the podcast...
Oh, yeah, of course, then the week after the podcast, after the next week's podcast will be the...
And then it'll be like forget...
But I guess the next week's podcast will... I mean, it's not anime or games related, but we'll have a new toy with us, which is an iPad.
Yay!
So...
Hey, I'm going to have some new toys tomorrow, but yeah, they're actual toys, so I don't know.
Nice.
But they're the cream of the crop toys, you know?
But it's on an iPad.
Hey, dude, I'm going to be spending more on these toys than your iPad, okay?
But it's not an iPad.
All the more sad.
I'm just kidding.
iPad. Yeah, interesting.
So we'll have like a mini review for that.
Sure. I haven't been playing anything extra like you guys. Just a little bit of Super Street Fighter 4 here and there. Now, I already gave the review last week, you know, that you definitely should buy it if you haven't played it. If you already have the original Street Fighter 4, here's the new verdict. You should still buy this game. Forgetting the fact that it's just $40, I tried for the past couple of days, the online aspect of the game wasn't working. I don't think
Sorry, Temur, let me interrupt you. $40 dirham terms, what? It shouldn't be more than about 150 dirhams then?
180. 180 is the price which Halo ODST was going on, I think.
Which is $40 as well?
Which is like a bit more than $40, but whatever. I mean.
No. Because exactly like.
Exactly $40
would
be around.
155 something.
148 point something, yeah. But
I'm just saying that you shouldn't pay anything above 180 over here. I mean, it's just a simple rip-off, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
So 180 for this game. I played the, like I told you guys, I played the multiplayer modes. Now, there are three new multiplayer modes in this game. One is, you know, I mean, it's the ranked matches that were, you know, in the last game as well. You have three new modes. What was the third one? God damn, I forgot. Replay modes. So what you can do is, one of the modes is replay mode. So what you can do is that, you know, you can search specific characters or, you know, top highest rated replays. It's a small file, like Halo 3, you know, like you're downloading the files and, you know, you can view them in the theater mode. You don't have a specific theater mode. The replay mode itself, like, you know, it'll highlight all the videos. The replay mode looks sort of like, Apple. You know how iTunes, they sort out your videos? When you
with those tabs, the squarish tabs.
Yeah, the square. So you can see the I guess the cover of the album, and then
it's just like a normal generated image, which is from the video itself.
Yeah, from the video itself. So it sort of looks like that. I mean, you know what you're sort of looking at, kind of like YouTube itself, I would say. So that's the replay mode. The two new modes that are really kick-ass are the endless battle mode and the team battle modes. So endless battle mode, you have 8 players joining in, and it's a straight up, you know, first come first serve lobby. So the guy in the first place, he'll fight the guy in the second place. If the first guy loses, then he jumps down to 8th place. The second guy fights the third guy. So it keeps on going like this, that the winner stays and the loser, he keeps on going at the bottom of the ladder. So I joined this, just, you know, randomly just to check it out. There were a couple of people, some people had UAE flags, some people had the American flag, but I think they were actually people from UAE because their names contained the word UAE.
You know, like has a bit of a giveaway.
Yeah. So I think they just created international accounts. Whatever. The connection bar was full green for all of them. So that's good. When a match starts, you actually join the game itself. So, like, I am just a viewer because I was sixth on the ladder. So I'm seeing the top two players play.
That's high.
So, no, I joined, so I couldn't, you know, just get in.
Yeah.
So okay. I was being sarcastic. Okay, anyway.
So you can see, you know, you go on the character selection screen itself and, you know, you can see, you can't see what these guys have, what characters these guys have picked up. So I don't know what purpose that serves. Anyways, the match starts, then you can see before the match starts, it shows the versus screen. That's where you can see, you know, who selected what character and what ultra move, because now you have two ultra moves, right?
Super strong. Oh, right. Okay.
So you can select the ultra moves as well.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
For all the characters, not just the new characters, everybody has two ultra moves. Yes. So I'm seeing these guys fight like I could barely tell or notice any lag whatsoever. Obviously, this was a given since all the connections were green anyway, so it's supposed to be like that. I'd like to see some red or yellow matches.
No, it was funny last time when we actually got Street Fighter 1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not Street Fighter 1, Street Fighter 4. The first
original.
When it came out, yeah. We used to play amongst ourselves and we used to still get yellow. We never got a green bar.
Yes. So
for some unknown reason.
By the way, that was on the 360. This was on the PS3. I don't know how much of a difference that makes, if any. I'm just going to say that, you know, at least on Capcom's words, I haven't played any international matches, but locally, like within the country itself, flawless execution of the netcode.
Nice.
So I'm looking at these guys and I realize that these are some extremely high level players because you can see how many wins these guys have had and how many losses. Like, and they weren't that much, like, you know, 7 wins, 1 loss, 14 wins, you know, like 18 losses or something like that. But man, these guys were good. Like, you could tell just by watching, you know, the sort of parry moves they do, you know, touch and go moves, something like that. And then immediately stringing in combos after combos. I'm thinking,
Taimur is already breaking a sweat before the match starts.
Yeah, exactly.
So by the time I'm fourth on the ladder, I quit.
What a pussy.
Then I say, let's try the third mode, which is team battle mode. Unfortunately, I couldn't get any games for this, any lobbies for this. But the idea with the team battle mode is that you have 8 players again, but they can be arranged in 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, you know, 4 versus 4.
Can you tag?
I didn't play, so I can't be sure. I don't think so, though.
How does the team battle work?
Yeah, that's the thing. That it'll still be a 1-versus-1 match, but you'll be separated into teams. So let's say red versus blue. So you have 4 players in red, 4 players in blue.
Also, everybody's win like matters like a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know,
that could get into some fights.
No, but here's the thing. It can even be 3-versus-2 or 5-versus-2. So you have all the weak people like me and, you know, some other losers. Like, you know, combined together, and then, you know, let's say some high level players, just one or two of them. So all of us versus all of them. So the total wins matter at the end of the day. I think that's how it's going to work out. Like I said, I unfortunately didn't get a lobby, so I can't say how it works out. I'm guessing this is how it will.
Interesting.
And then I went on a ranked match again. I couldn't find any, so I created one. After I think about maybe less than a minute, I'm sure about that. Found some dude, he also had a green connection but had a USA flag. The name was also Fierce, so I'm pretty damn sure he was still from here, because USA till here won't have a green connection. It'll be yellow, at the very least. So yeah, he chose Dudley, one of the new characters. I chose Juri, one of the other new characters. I think Dudley's actually from Street Fighter 3 or Street Fighter 2 Alpha. He's an old Street Fighter character, and Juri is.
What happened in the match? Did you win?
First act, I got him down to half health, and then he, you know, destroyed. He was like, you know, a certain move, which pissed me off to no extent. Second match, I was like, dude, it is on. He almost got a perfect.
Perfect.
almost. Shit. Exactly. Yeah.
That is you when you get time is on. Huh? Okay then.
Yeah.
Good to know.
All right. When the juice is running.
Quite the traumatizing experience. I immediately shut it down and then came for the podcast. So yeah. I just wanted to let you guys know that, you know, at least the netcode has improved a lot. And while I was waiting in the lobbies, you know, you can hear the background music. They have really, really improved the background music. Sadly, you don't get the Indestructible song anymore in the opening.
That sucks. That was the best thing about the game.
Yeah, that was
it was such a funny song, dude. Like, when you started the game, the first one, you're like, is this like actually Street Fighter music? Because, you know, we've never been used to this kind of music.
Dude, it was like proper like anime music, man. Like,
this is proper boy band music we have in 90s. Or early.
What is the name of the band, by the way?
I have, but anyway, so that music is in there instead. You know, you're generated. You get like the music keeps on changing because they show like different fight scenes between different people, and you know, some character introductions as well. Background music, like, you know, not background within the fight, but you know, the menu music. They
talking
have some
about music
nice trance elements
talking
mixed in with some basic Street Fighter 4 themes. Really beautiful. Like, I have to hand it to these guys. This is like the actual final perfect version of Super Street Fighter 4. And every time you fight a character, like, okay, not literally every time, but you know, if you do some new things, like let's say you go through the arcade mode, or if like me, you play one match online or host a match online, you'll unlock different things. Like, you know, you'll unlock a color for somebody, a new taunt move for somebody else. You're not exactly unlocking trophies, but you're still getting something. The trophies and the achievements are all like, you know, executed.
Any avatar stuff?
There's no avatar. I mean, like for the
sadly,
PS3.
You have to buy. No, you have to buy it. I'm talking avatar, like at least in the 360. You have to buy those things, like themes and all. Yes, you have for the 360 and the PS3 as well. But you have to buy those.
I'm not sure. Is there any avatar stuff from Street Fighter, like on the 360? Because
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
if
you
there
have,
were.
No. You have the costumes.
Like costumes and stuff?
Only and stuff. Yeah, yeah. You got
oh, you do?
Thing. Yeah, yeah, you do. But they just either they just came out with it, or they're gonna launch it once the game launches.
Because I expected them to come that, because that would be really like people would buy that.
Yeah,
like,
you have like the full, like, you know, Ryu torn karate clothes, Chun-Li's whole, like, you know, Chinese dress and all that stuff.
Well, that's
everything.
Good.
Sadly, there's no Blanca.
What?
Yeah.
How would they like implement? Would they make you like electrocute or something? I don't know.
No, just a mask, man.
Yeah. Well,
that would look.
Yeah, as a character, right?
Yeah. Talking about this avatar clothes.
Alright, okay.
Yeah, no, dude.
Man, you could be like wearing a green suit and a wig. That would be so cool, man.
I don't know. These guys are like too much effort. Let's forget it.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe they'll release it as an extra premium
500 points costume.
Temur, I think you should get the Chun-Li outfit for your avatar on Xbox.
Yeah, it'll look nice with the
isn't
whole
she like your favorite character? No, but isn't she your favorite character, honestly?
No, she... No. Honestly, the only reason I chose her was because her moves were simple, because on the 360 controller, it was easy for me to execute her combos than Ryu's, you know, quarter circle combos, because that shit did not work.
Oh, really? But it worked on the Xbox 360.
No, he's talking about the Xbox.
No, then... Like, no, I'm talking about the controller, the 360 controller, because then I got the arcade stick, then, you know, I just, like, went... Oh. Where, like, I switched between Ryu and Chun-Li. But now on the PS3 controller, whew, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay, interesting.
Like quarter circle. And Juri's moves, they're like Ryu's moves. They're all quarter circle forward and back based.
Cool.
So, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I mean, dude, Super Street Fighter 4, you have to buy this.
PS3 version, huh?
Yeah. Ideally, and you know what? I haven't played the 360 version, but if you look at the pre-order charts, most of the pre-orders, the higher pre-orders are all for the PS3 version.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
I'll also probably pick it up.
Again, like I said, do not pay above 180. If it's like for 180 or less, it's definitely a worthwhile pickup, because even as new retail games go, it's still, you know, cheap.
When is it going to be out on the proper retail market? Okay.
Next week. Actually, it's out now, but it's on a slight premium because, you know, it's straight broken.
Yeah.
And gray imports, of course. So, yeah. Okay, so that's it. Let's wrap it up.
Yep.
Guys, everybody, thank you all for joining us. This was the 21st episode of The Culturist Podcast. You can catch us on d-culture.com and dculture. You can just search for us on iTunes. Hopefully they plug our podcast within a day or two. Mihir, you can find on Twitter. That's twitter.com/MihirJ, M-I-H-I-R-J. I am twitter.com/TimurH, T-I-M-O-R-H, and RP, you can't find it. Actually, no, you can find it.
I can, actually. He started retweeting.
He started tweeting again, yes.
Yeah, RP man, I think it is, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so twitter.com/arfiman. That's A-R-F-I, you know, man.
One man.
Alrighty then, guys. Thank you for coming tonight.
One more thing before we leave. I would just like to notify the people that we will be having our podcast Saturdays, but 8 o'clock UAE time.
Yes.
Which is
one hour before the regular.
Yeah.
The regular podcast. So that's 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in U.S.,
Is it?
Yes, it's 5 p.m. UK and 8 p.m. our time.
Not bad, Timur, not bad.
Yeah. And if anybody from Japan is listening, then 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning for you guys.
Wow.
That's pretty much two regions of the world gone.
Yeah.
Excellent. Alrighty then, guys. Okay. Let's call it night. Everybody, goodbye.
Thank you.